Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Alexis Pratsidis, Managing Director at Mintwist.
I've had a couple of MDs, CEOs on the show lately, and I don't tend to have quite that many of them. But yeah. When I do get them, I'm always really really compelled to talk to them, because my understanding of kind of an MD role is that it's actually quite a lonely position in the company.
Yeah, I think it can be. I think, you know, there's no two ways about it. You know, you carry a lot of weight. You know, there's obviously things you can talk about with everybody, there are things you can't talk about. Yeah, I think what you tend to do is surround yourself with peers, other businesses, you know, people you've known for a while in similar roles in other businesses, and you end up having really valuable conversations with that network about specific situations or issues that the business is having. Well, there's not a lot that you'll be facing that no one else has had to deal with. It's a question of, you know, how you approach it.
I can imagine a lot of the challenges around specifically people and, you know, culture, for example. You know, I saw in your kind of profile that you're pretty motivated to keep, you know, the culture and the kind of the people within the organization. That's something that you feel particularly passionately about. But I always find that kind of when you get to that kind of super senior level, it's quite difficult to always have a great understanding of what direction the culture is going, because you don't get always the most honest feedback from people, because everyone's obviously, you know, wanting to always put their kind of best face on. It's sort of the celebrity effect, isn't it, where people are always wanting to be their best, present themselves in the best possible way. So it's difficult to kind of always gauge what's happening, I suppose.
Yeah, I think for me, the sort of DNA of the people that we have here is, like you say, it's the number one thing really about, it's what's driving the growth in the business. You know, we're looking for people to come in that are hungry, they have a desire to succeed and be the best that they can be. They want to progress in their careers, they want to move up the ladder, they want to be part of an environment that's fast-paced and a growing company. So over the years, I've learned to sort of quite quickly sniff that out in any individual, or if it's not there, quite quickly establish that it's not there. We had some issues a few years ago where we took people on who where the skill set was perfect, but the DNA and the personality was slightly off piste of where we were and where we were going. And it didn't end particularly well. There was just too much of a clash between individuals, approach to work, you know, approach to problems. It, you know, if you're not in sync, it gives you a massive problem. And I think that by finding people that fit the mold and being open and honest with them, you know, I'm a big believer in transparency. We're very open with everybody about how the business is doing financially, the projects we're about to win, the issues we're going to face with some of the projects. So there's no hidden agenda. And then as a result, we get that back from the team. So you know, when there's a problem, they don't mind coming, tell me about it. You know, yes, we're going to have a bit of an issue, but we're going to work through it. And we'll likewise then be speaking to our clients and saying, look, this has come up, you know, we're on it, just to make you aware, rather than trying to brush things under the carpet and trying to, you know, maneuver our way through it by the seat of our pants, if you like. So yeah, I think it is an interesting one, but I think in terms of having people come and tell me, you know, I think because I'm still driving the culture from the top by the people that we hire, I'm still quite in tune with what's happening, and therefore people know they can come and approach me. You know, it doesn't matter who we are in the business, they can come and talk to me about anything. And I think it makes for a nice working environment.
I think so, and I'm sure that that gets more and more difficult, I suppose, as the company grows as well.
Exactly, right. So that's one of the big issues, is that, you know, the team is hopefully going to grow by 50% in the next 18 months. And at that point, you're absolutely right. You know, it's not feasible for me to have that same level of access for everybody, because, you know, it's okay. It's just about manageable when you're 30 odd people. But once you get to 45, you know, getting on for 50 people, you can't have that same relationship with everybody. So you have to be absolutely clear with your senior team, where you do have that relationship, that what you expect from them and their team members is exactly the same as the relationship that I have with them. So the culture sort of propagates down.
You know, you put such an emphasis on, you know, on the culture and on the people. And I think when I've spoke to a lot of MDs, you may or may not kind of second this one, but they always think that kind of when I was starting to build the company, or when I took over as MD or whatever, that kind of you hear a lot about the people and the culture, how important that is. But they always thought initially that going into that there was kind of just a sort of cliche thing to say, so to speak. But then they actually find out that, you know, once they get into the position, it really is kind of the driver of growth.
Yeah, right. And at the end of the day, in our sort of business, where, you know, we're a services business, we're a people business. At the end of the day, you know, we're people working with other people. We provide a service, and it's how you deal with that and how you interact with internal people and external people that grow, you know, drive your business forward, drive their business forward. And actually, like you say, it makes it an enjoyable experience. If our clients enjoy working with us and get good results, then, you know, we're going to have a fruitful relationship for many years to come. I think the issue, if you're working with people you don't like, or you're working with clients that you don't like, you know, makes the whole situation much harder. So we're very fortunate to have a good bunch of guys internally. And actually, you know, our clients are really good to work with as well. You know, there are people we've been working with for a number of the years. They're actually good friends now as a result. And I think that speaks volume for the work that we do here and the way that we handle those relationships. You know, notwithstanding the fact that obviously, you know, as you said, there's lots of AI coming, you know, there's automation, you know, bits and pieces of people's roles and is changing. It's changing all the time, and in the digital world, that's half the game, I think, is keeping up with what's happening, trends, giving ourselves visibility of what's coming down the line, and how we're going to help ourselves and our clients react to those changes to keep growing. You can't stop the progress. You can't. You know, you might not agree with everything that's happening, but, you know, it's likely going to happen anyway. So, you know, there's only so long you can be thinking about standing in the way. At some point, you've got to get on the train, otherwise you'll be left behind.
It's important, and it's difficult as well, I think, at the moment, to kind of balance between going in on the latest and greatest technology and for just doing it for the sake of it, and actually doing the thing that fits the purpose and gets the job done. But it's very difficult to get the timing right and not get sidetracked. And as much as anything, you know, as an MD as well, you have to look at, you know, where to invest and when to invest. And I'm sure that with technology now poses like quite a unique problem, but nonetheless, you know, a very difficult one.
Yeah, and there's plenty of examples of that, right? You know, the whole VR thing has been around for a while, and people are still working out what to do with it and how to utilize it. And you know, where it fits in a, you know, in a business life cycle, you know. And if you, like you say, if you get on too early, then you're learning about a technology that might actually phase out in 18 months, and there's a new player in the market that actually wins the race. And so you're absolutely right. And I think you've got to be able to make a judgment call on which ones look like they're actually going to work. You know, good example is kind of commercializing Snapchat. You know, we get asked a little bit about that. How, you know, at what point should we be entertaining that as a platform? And at the moment, you know, the answer is, you know, let's just keep an eye on it. Obviously, when Amazon Cloud came about and, you know, their web services started to take off, and, you know, some of the Silicon Valley guys were starting to use it, and you can, you know, all of the online media were talking about where it's going to go and how it's going to revolutionize everything. So keeping pace with that, and at some point you make a decision, okay, right, let's send some of the guys out to go to Amazon and learn about, you know, what's happening. And it's a difficult one. You're gonna get a few of them wrong, I think, but you know, I'd like to think that, you know, my gut reaction is becoming more and more trustworthy the older I get now. It's a bit like picking a TV show, right? You don't want to pick a TV show and then watch the first season and then it gets cancelled. You know, it's better to wait that once the first season's gone, come and gone, they renew it for two more. Okay, then it's time to get involved. Otherwise, you end up watching loads of things that just never go anywhere.
When I've spoke with, you know, leaders of different technical teams, they said that now it's kind of become kind of an issue in some ways when they look at the recruitment process, for example, when they're trying to onboard people to fit in with their team. It becomes a little bit more difficult because they need someone who's obviously got the skills, but also as a technical person now, you have your requirements are so much more based on the business needs, because you are now the product, you know, that is the company in a lot of respects. So you have to fundamentally understand the business needs as much as the technical needs.
Yeah, and actually a third thing I would say is that, you know, all of our guys, I want all of our business to be client facing. So as a third sort of skill set, to be able to have somebody sit with a client and have a sensible conversation about tech, you know, their business and their business needs, and how we're going to solve a problem together and how we're going to work and what a solution might look like. Because there's no point having two of the three, because, you know, otherwise you've got to go through another person to start communicating with the client.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I suppose for you guys, it's almost like, it's like one step further, isn't it?
Yeah, we're absolutely right. You've got to have the tech background, you know, you've got to be savvy and you know, you've got to be able to problem solve and understand needs and requirements, and you've also got to be able to have a really sensible conversation with the client and build that relationship, you know. So as a tech employee, I think, you know, developing those skills is, you know, because obviously traditional geeks are headphones on, head down, crack on, you know, work all hours of the day and deliver good code. But I think it's much more than that now, certainly for us anyway, as an agency. I think if you're a software outfit or you're a big product, I think you can probably afford to have more of those types of people in the business. But for us, you know, where we're a service, I think it's really important to have the comm skills and personal relationship building skills to add to the mix, which makes people a lot harder to find.
Yeah, I was going to ask actually how difficult that actually is to find those kind of people.
Yeah, so it's difficult. I think there's no two ways about it. I think we're very fortunate that, you know, with the presence that we've built up and, you know, the way that we rank in search engines, we get applications for lots of different roles on a daily basis. And I think that the way we present ourselves online leads to more of that type of person approaching us. And, you know, like I say, we're very fortunate to have hired people who have just dropped us an email to say, I've seen that you've got a account manager role on your website and I would very much like to put myself forward for these reasons. In the instance where we have to put out adverts and go through the full-on process, you just have to be able to quickly identify the types of people that would work well in the business. It's back to the DNA thing again. But also, you know, the skill set of everyone in this business, whether you're a designer, you know, an account manager in finance, you have to be able to build those relationships, because without that, as an agency, we don't have anything.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? But, you know, again, it's the, regardless of all the kind of the offering, the tech skills, etc., you don't have the business without the without the people side of things.
Yeah, and we trust everyone here to make sensible decisions about, you know, projects and clients, and you have to be able to look at a situation and make a sensible call on what is a good way to handle it. And I think, you know, if you're in a project, you know, sometimes you give a little bit and then you push back a little bit, and you have to have that ability to have those conversations, awkward sometimes conversations, with clients.
I wanted to also ask a little bit about external feedback and how important as an MD is to be kind of externally curious, you know, going to events, going to, you know, anything out external to the organization that might help remain and give you perspective on kind of the marketplace as a whole. Is that something that it is really important for someone like yourself to engage in those kind of activities?
Yeah, I think, you know, I try to get to as much as I can. I think I actually spend a lot of time with people within my network. So I do a lot of, I'm a big believer in kind of breakfast meetings, you know, so I try to meet clients, you know, old colleagues, you know, or peers, you know, over breakfast, you know, 8 till 9:30-ish is obviously, I think, is a really good slot in the day before anything gets going. You know, actual networking events, I find it harder to get to now. But there are kind of seminars which I enjoy going to, where you end up obviously having good conversations with people afterwards. But it's just interesting. There's often there's lots of these kind of peer get-togethers for agencies where the owners get together and either have dinner or drinks, and you end up bouncing ideas off each other and looking at how you're tackling different areas of business at that moment in time. And that's always quite nice to get other people's opinions on the issues that you're facing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think it's really important, isn't it? And also to get outside the bubble for a while, isn't it? I think when especially if you're making in the midst of making, you know, a relatively big decision, it's really helpful to have that kind of external feedback. It's like a sanity check, isn't it? Isn't it really?
It is, and we have a chairman, and he's always available, so I can pick up the phone to him and say, look, you know, this has come across my desk, I really need to deal with it, and, you know, in the next couple of days, I'd love to get your thoughts on, you know, whatever my idea was. And he's a lovely chap that's been in business for a long, long time, and he's always got a wise word or two to pass back.
Yeah, and what about you know, with that, I suppose you kind of do sometimes get some kind of creative ideas as well from, you know, just talking to people externally. Are you a person who kind of feeds off that type of thing for, you know, the creative thought process, or for you, is it just, does it just like come randomly to you? How does that kind of process work for you typically?
I do enjoy the interaction with people in other areas of the business, whether they're creative or tech or in, you know, account management or management. So I do enjoy that collaboration and bouncing ideas off each other. But I also have a, you know, I was a software engineer originally, so I was a geek by sort of training really from university. And so I do sometimes just look at a problem and come up with a sort of an answer in my own process. And often I'll look at a problem or solution and think of a way that we could build something to try and solve that problem. And so internally, we've got a couple of projects on the go at the moment where we're using a piece of technology to solve an issue. And that's going to help the business move forwards.
Yeah, it's interesting when these things come to you, isn't it? I suppose it's like you say. I didn't know that you had the background in engineering, but yeah, I think that you know, engineers and software developers and such, they think
they tend to work in like such a different way. Like I think for me, I like to kind of spar with people, stand up, kind of, you know, walking around, kind of, that's how I tend to kind of think best. Where typically with the engineers that I, well, at least that I've met, they kind of fit the bill of that stereotype of kind of headphones in, just kind of leave me alone and I'll kind of figure it out. Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? How those kind of thoughts come to us to solve problems. But
it is, I think, you know, my father was in fashion, you know, so I kind of grew up with quite a creative household, you know, so I blended, I think, the kind of the tech sort of thinking in zeros and ones and being quite black and white with the, you know, the whole creative element and like you say, blue sky thinking and brainstorming and collaborative approach. I think that's kind of what's helped me sort of form the agency that we have, where we can be very techie if we need to, and likewise we can be extremely creative when we need to as well. And actually quite often we'll use both of those elements to solve problems. So you were in turn at the moment, we're building a tool to generate us leads. So it's going out into the internet and finding information about all different companies and scraping data and collecting information to put into a big pot, which is then processed and out pops opportunities for us as a business. And, you know, it's quite clever the way it's working. And that then feeds into the top of our kind of sales funnel, if you like. So we, you know, we contact people and it's starting to produce results. So, you know, it's a good example where how we're looking at a problem and the way that we're trying to solve them.
I mean, it's almost the perfect collaboration that you have there. You have the technical with the kind of the creative skills. I think it's such a powerful skill set at the moment. And I think you're very fortunate to be in a position where you kind of had both, because it is quite a rare trait. And as you say, you know full well when you're looking for probably similar people in the organization who have those sort of comparable skill sets. Also, conscious of time, yeah, I know we've been going for about 30 minutes. So closing thoughts for me are just really just about your kind of motivators and what is it that, you know, continuously motivates you, you know, I suppose to just continually work hard, innovate and, you know, continuously be creative and forward thinking in your activities.
I think you've got to have something inside you, you know, be it personality or DNA about, you know, hunger. You've got to always have that sort of spring in your step when you get out of bed in the morning. And I think for me, you know, the industry that we're in is so fast paced that by itself is interesting just keeping up with what's going on. But, you know, translating that into business opportunity for us and for other businesses is quite exciting. I think in terms of a driver moving forwards, I think I've always had a vision at the back of my mind, even when it was just myself and a laptop 10 years ago, you know, where I wanted to take the agency and what I wanted to do. And, you know, we're well on the way to that now, but I can still see, you know, there's 3 or 4 more years of work to get us to where I think we should be. And that at the moment is what's driving me. You know, I've always been quite ambitious. I've never really settled for anything in life, really. I've always had quite grand dreams, if you like. And I think that's still the case. You know, I still have a very clear understanding of what I think we should be doing in 3 or 4 years' time and where we should be. And who knows what will happen if we make it there or get reasonably close at some point in the future. You know, one of the things that's opening up opportunity and keeping me interested is as the business grows, you start looking at different things and different ways of working. And acquisition is one of the things we're looking at the moment. And how we can make that work, and as obviously that's a whole new ball game for me, and I'm having to learn about, you know, all of the aspects of bringing two companies together and how that will work and the pitfalls and I suppose that, you know, as part of that hunger and desire to learn and grow, that's feeding that at the moment.
It's awesome stuff, mate. It's really great.
Cool.
We'll leave it there, Alexis. It was absolutely brilliant, mate. I really enjoyed the chat.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.